This is Dr. Joseph A. Mills, Jr. of Agape MC Ministries of Alexandria, Virginia. Thank you for tuning in to our Reigning in Life Through Faith radio broadcast. I pray that today's message will truly be a blessing to you.
We stand on the rock, a kingdom of love. Together we walk by faith, with power and grace, forever your word will reign.
We are reigning in life through faith.
We are reigning in life.
Today on Reigning in Life Through Faith, Dr. Mills continues 7 Steps to Pray. In this series, Dr. Mills continues to help us in the area of prayer. In using these 7 steps, you can be confident that you are praying effectively and have faith in knowing that God, your Heavenly Father, is hearing your prayers.
The high priest was the person who was there to present to God on behalf of the people and to argue their case of innocence. Jesus is in the same position now. He's seated at the right hand of God. He's our current high priest. He's our high priest now. And what is he doing? He's interceding on our behalf, seated beside the Father.
Now, here is Dr. Mills with the continuation of Part 1 of 7 Steps to Pray.
Verse 22 in 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Are you there? And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments. Because what? We keep his what? Well, we can say we keep his instructions. We're allowing him to instruct us and we're keeping his instruction and do things that are pleasing in his sight. Amen. The Amplified reads like this. It says, we receive from him whatever we ask because we watchfully obey his orders, observe his suggestions and injunctions, follow his plan for us, and habitually practice what is pleasing to him. So, we're not just on our own plan. We're not just doing our own thing. Amen. Let's also look at, of course, chapter 5 in 1 John, verses 14 and 15. And we've read this before as well. And these are just things to solidify our confidence in God. Are you with me? We need to have confidence in God. When I pray, I want to know that God's going to answer my prayer. Amen. But you need to understand, he's always going to answer your prayer. But there's some things he wants us to do on our part in order for us to receive the answer to the prayer. Amen. Verse 14 says, and now this is the confidence that we have in him. The confidence we have what? In him. The confidence that we have is not in our prayer. It's in him. I think this is a key thing that we need to think about, because, you know, I'm thinking, am I praying right? My confidence should be in him. If my confidence is in him, then I'm going to pray right. Amen. Because I'm not looking for me to make something happen. I'm looking for him to do something for me and make something happen. So he says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Amen. So in order for me to know what his will is, I got to know what his word is. I don't know what his will apart from his word. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. The Amplified reads like this. Amplified has a whole lot more words to help us. Amen. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, He listens to and hears us. Now, we got our own plans, but does our plan line up with his plan for our life? Amen. You know, I like to use this because the scripture tells us in Acts, the 17th chapter, that we have, that God birthed us exactly where he wanted us to be birthed. He birthed us at the exact time he wanted us to be birthed. So I always like to talk about where we want to live. Amen. Is it in accordance with his plan, or is that that's our plan? You want to go to California. Is that God's plan for you to be in California living when you should be living in Virginia? I'm just saying, you see, a lot of times we don't ask God. We just declare what we're going to do. And we just go off and do something. I think I like Palm Beach, Florida. So I think I'm going to go and live there in Palm Beach because I like. You've never been there before. You don't even know what Palm Beach is all like. You just know it's sunny and it stays warm all the time. So you just want to go there. Amen. But is that where God called you to be? Why? Because what we need to understand is God has an assignment for your life. And you're here on assignment. So where is your assignment? That's where you need to be, because that's where you're going to prosper. That's where you're going to succeed in life. That's where you're not going to have. When I say that, I was going to say you wouldn't have any problems, but you'll have problems. But your problems, God will solve them with no problem. You understand? We're always going to be tested. Jesus says, as long as you're in this world, you're going to have trouble. Amen. But he said, now take joy because I've overcome the world. So I can rest in peace knowing that although trouble may be all around me, I can be like Jesus was when Jesus was on the boat, and the fellas on the boat, he's sleeping, and they all getting all upset because we gonna perish. Where's Jesus? Wake Jesus up. And Jesus just gets up and looks, said, peace be still. And he says, now, where's your faith? Are you with me? Can you understand? So God knows what you're up against. He knows where he's called you to. He already knows the things that you're going to encounter. But he's already made provision so that you can overcome those things that you would encounter in life. If you're where he wants you to be, you cannot be someplace that God hasn't called you to be and expect to overcome and win in a place that he hasn't called, because God can't be there with you, because that's not where he called you to be. And you always want God with you. Amen. 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 And y'all say, okay, well, where's that? Okay, well, let's look at Jonah. He gives us plenty of illustrations in the Bible. Okay. Here's Jonah. Didn't want to go where God told him to go to. What did he do? Gets on a boat with some other fellas, about to kill everybody on the boat because he in the wrong place. And finally, everybody knew something is wrong. Somebody on this boat that have no business being on this ship. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we need to get rid of them. And they threw his tail overboard. Yeah. Whether you realize it or not, some relationships that you're in, you got to throw them overboard. If your boat is rocking and you realize it's going to sink, if somebody on that boat is still there and it is not working out right for you, you need to throw somebody overboard. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know y'all don't want to do that, but you know, they had to do it. Jonah had to get it. You got to get off of this boat. Amen. So this is what we're talking. We're talking about God's plan, not our plan, but God's plan. When we're operating within the plan of God, things are going to work out for you. Verse 15 says, and if Since we positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions. Notice what it says, as our what? Present possessions. It's mine. I got it now. The request made of him. Because it's like God is not going to say no. No, it's yours. It's yours. Amen. Let's also look at Isaiah 55. Want to look at Isaiah 55. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 55. And we're going to look at verses 8 through 11. Now, well, I'm going through this because I really want you to understand that you've got to go to God with some degree of confidence in you that God is hearing you and that he is going to give you whatever it is that you desire. Amen. In Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." This is God talking. He says, "Now my thoughts are not your thoughts. I don't think like you think." That's what he's saying. Break it down into plain English. So I don't think the way you think. And we have to really capture, really take note of our thoughts and just ask yourself, would God think like this? Because he's telling us right here, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." So God is saying, listen, I'm not thinking on the level or the plane that you think on. I think on a higher plane than you think on. Verse 10 says, "For as rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Now, we read that, and let's get some more clarity on this. First of all, God is not saying you cannot think like he thinks. He's saying, where you are, you don't think like I think. Your ways are not like my ways. But he says, now you take my word and you put my word in you, and my word will cause you to think like I think. My word will cause your ways to become like my ways. And whatever my word says, when you put your word in my mouth, in your mind, whatever the word says that you have or that you can do, it will not return void. In other words, if you speak my word, you will get it precisely what my word says you should get. This is what God is saying here. This is where we need to. This is why I'm so adamant about the word, because I understand if you get the word in you, if the word of God lives in you, it abides in you, you can ask whatever you will and it's yours. And that's the reason he says, my word will not return void. Your word returns void. My word will not return void. My word will accomplish what it is sent to do. My word, you put my word in your mouth and it'll do for you what it is sent to do. Are you with me? So we've got to change the way we think, get out of thinking that I can just say anything and God's going to hear me or God's going to answer my prayer. That's not what he's saying. He said, listen, first of all, your thoughts are not my thoughts. You don't think like I think. So therefore, the words that come out of your mouth is going to come from where you think, and what you think, it's not going to happen. It's my words that's going to happen. He has created this system to hear his word and to answer to his word. Can you understand what I'm saying? And I'm not talking about the system of this world. I'm talking about the system of his world. When we talk about kingdom, we got to talk kingdom talk. And when we talk kingdom talk, it will not return void. It'll accomplish what it is sent to do. You can't use this world's talk in the kingdom and expect to receive from the kingdom with this world's talk. You can only receive from this world the talk of this world that when you talk this world's talk. If you want to receive from the kingdom, you got to begin to talk kingdom talk. Amen. Amen. So prayer begins prayer that brings results, I should say, must be based on God's word. Amen. Number two, begin the application of faith. How do I begin the application of faith? In other words, how do I begin to apply faith to my life? Because I saw in Matthew and in Mark that I needed faith in order to receive. So how do I begin this application of faith? How do I begin to apply faith in my life? Well, the first thing I got to do is make confessions. And confession means to say the same thing that God says. That's what confession. I got to confess God's word. So I go around mimicking God as Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 1 says that we, as dear children, we imitate God. Let's look at that for a minute. I didn't have that in here, but, you know, this is just the word. These are just things that we should know and understand. And in Ephesians 5th chapter, verse 1, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And so we're going to imitate God. The Amplified says, therefore, be imitators of God, copy him and follow his example, as well-beloved children imitate their fathers. So I'm going to go around talking like God. That's what confession means. Whatever God says, I am that I am. You know, when Moses asked him, say, okay, now, who am I going to tell these people sent me? And God says, I am that I am. So every time you say I am, you don't understand. You've just highlighted God. You've just magnified God as who he is. If you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, you talk about yourself, but you also made him and magnified God in your life. I am the righteousness of God. I am victorious through Christ Jesus. See, I am. And the great I am begins to do some things on the inside of you. The I am begins to live in your life. Woo, I'm getting excited. Boy, woo, my. Yes. So we got to confess. Amen. So I've got a couple of things under that. A is confession. I've got two things really that I want to give to you, but confession is A. I said number one, right? Did I say one? Okay, y'all put it down any kind of way you want to. Okay, I got A's and B's and ones and twos and all that kind of stuff. But this is number two heading or subheading. A is confession. Number one under confession, believe you receive when you pray. So you got to say, I believe I receive. That's my confession. I believe I receive. Number two, you got to hold fast to your confession, as it tells us in the 4th chapter of Hebrews. Let's look at that for a minute. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, says we got to hold fast. Why? Why do I have to hold fast? Because there's an enemy who wants to snatch that thing from you. He doesn't want you to get what you're talking about you're going to have. Amen. And so beginning with verse 11, I'm going to read down through this so that we can see this in Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Hold fast to your confession. You got to hold fast to your confession. And it says here, let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest. And that's the rest of God. When we talk about resting in God, that's my faith in him. Rest means faith. Amen. So he says now, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So we understand he's talking about the children of Israel when God told them that the land was theirs, that, you know, all of this property was theirs. We call it the promised land was theirs. And they would not believe God. He wasn't telling them that they had to go in there and take the land on their own. Just like he's telling us, we don't have to do anything on our own. He's going to cause it to happen in your life. He just needs you to have confidence in him. Enough confidence to have faith in him. Amen. And he says, so verse 12 says, for the word of God is living. For what's living? The word now. The word. So we understand the significance of God's word when we get his word. His word is what? Living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing, to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when we begin to internalize God's word, God's word is going to actually show us first. The word will even distinguish areas in your life where you have problems with believing God's word. Are you with me? And where you have challenges believing God's word, that's where you need to show up on the word. That's where you need to confess the word. Because the first thing you need to do is believe God's word. Amen. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom he must give an account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Now we have, when you say high priest was the person who went before God to argue on our behalf. The high priest was the person who was there to present to God on behalf of the people and to argue their case of innocence. Amen. Are you with me? Jesus is in the same position now. He's seated at the right hand of God. He's our current high priest. Amen. Are you with me? He's our high priest now. And what is he doing? He's interceding on our behalf, seated beside the Father, interceding for us. Arguing our case. Are you with me? Can you understand what I'm saying? And so he says, now you hold on to your confession, because if you don't hold on to your confession, what's going to happen is you're going to affect the intercessor. You understand? Because he can only see it if you hold to your confession. So he's arguing your case. He's arguing for you. You understand? He's rooting for you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Man, you want Jesus rooting for you. Amen. He's rooting for you. He says, Father, they're going to come through. Don't worry about it. They're going to come through. They got a little challenge right now. The devil's up against them. But don't worry. We coming through. I've already sent some angels. They're going to help them out. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into Reigning in Life Through Faith, a radio broadcast from the Agape Embassy Ministries. To receive your gift of today's message on CD, simply send your donation of no less than $10 in the form of a check or money order to Agape Embassy Ministries, 5775 Barclay Drive, Suite 7, Alexandria, Virginia, 22315. Be sure to include today's message code 051814 SM. That code again is 051814 SM. Visit us on the web at www.agapeembassy.org. Dr. Mills invites you to listen to the broadcast for more Reigning in Life Through Faith. Join us for our Sunday morning encounters at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7:30 p.m. We are located at 5775 Barclay Drive in Alexandria, Virginia. Or give us a call at 703-971-7202.
In today's teaching on prayer, we learn how to know that you are going to get results. Confession in God's Word brings about the results that you desire in your life. This is Dr. Mills, your radio teacher. See you next week. Same place, same time.